Hey everyone, welcome back to the Longevity Muscle Podcast. I'm Kenny, your host, and I'm beyond excited today because we are sitting down with the one and only Alberto Nunez of Team 3DMJ. I always love talking with Alberto. We got into a great discussion around natural bodybuilding, the competitive side of things, and we talk about his training as it relates to being a father. It was just a great episode, different from the episodes that we've done recently. I think it will be one you will enjoy for sure. For those who may not know, Alberto Nunez is a 3D muscle journey coach. He's a WMBF pro, and his most recent title was the WMBF Mr. Universe, which is no small achievement. So let's get right into it. Enjoy. Hey, Berto, how you doing, man? Long time.
Yeah, long time. Are you at home?
I'm at home. I'm in a new location, though. I'm in the Netherlands now. I think last time we spoke, I must have been in Toronto. Yeah.
So, okay, that explains I guess it's a little darker right now, right?
Over there. Oh, yeah, it's nighttime.
Because the lights. Yeah. I'm like, he's eating lights. Yeah.
Yeah. It's right now it's 8 p.m. where I'm at because I'm Dutch time. So it's 8 hours ahead of you, or actually 7 hours ahead of you. So
did you just relocate?
Yeah, I relocated for work, but also my girlfriend, her family's from the Netherlands, so it kind of worked out in that way. So that was positive.
Oh man, good place to live, I feel.
Have you been?
No, but a lot of those northern European countries, I think if I had to pick another place, it'd probably be out there.
Yeah. There's no complaints other than I have to say, and I'm sure you're going to appreciate this, the weather. The weather is a little gloomy. And I know in Colorado, you guys have like the most sun, like out of all the states almost, right? Is that accurate?
Supposedly, it is very sunny. I don't know if the statistical data backs it up, but it's sunnier than when I was in California, I feel.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. So that's something I read, and I don't know how accurate that was, but there you go. You confirmed it, at least from a personal experience standpoint, right?
Yeah, it doesn't look like South Park. I think South Park episodes, like, it seems like it was snowing half the time.
Right. Nah. It's cold and snowing. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Always bundled up.
That's right. So how is it there? I know because you relocated. Last time we spoke, you were actually in Colorado. You've been there for quite a while now. Is that where you're settling now?
I think so, but if I move somewhere, I have a thing for like lower population density, but then it can be so low that like it feels like you're walking into the 1980s, you know? Mm. Yeah, we have a mountain town. It's the one that's right next to me. It leads into Rocky Mountain National Park. It's about, I think, 20 miles from me, but it's like twists and turns, so it takes like almost an hour to get there. And I walk into the Safeway supermarket, and it legit looks like the Safeway from when I was, like, in terms of remodeling and the branding when I was a kid. Because, I mean, shipping things up there is just, you know, it's out of the way. So, you know, like, the fashion's a little weird. Mountain towns, the food is kind of you know. So there's a sweet spot. So if we move somewhere, it's going to be somewhere with, I think right around 100,000, there's a lot to do in the town, but people are still nice and there's like a community-based feel. So
Gotcha. Well, the gym scene must be pretty quiet then too, then, right?
Here in Fort Collins?
Yeah. Like, do you have, is it pretty, or I guess it depends on the timing, right? What time you go?
It's a very fit state. That's the one thing I will say. I leave Colorado and I forget that, oh man, like, because here almost everyone has some sort of like outdoor hobby, it seems.
Right.
So I go to other airports. I'm like, oh, that's right. We are kind of dealing with an obesity epidemic in this country. Mm. So no, people are fit out here, man. Like it's nice to see.
Good.
People are getting out there doing things.
Yeah, it's motivating. It's keeps you on point, right? To an extent, I find that. At least because again, in the Netherlands, it's quite rainy, a lot of cloudiness. And it kind of skews, it messes with you a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Like in Toronto, more sun, people wearing t-shirts, you feel a little bit more fired up. You really have to have an internal, your internal drive, your internal motivation, so to speak, has to be high in a country like this, or it's very easy to just get a little bit lazy, you know?
Just be cozy all day, right?
Yeah, seriously, that's exactly it. So what I was going to say was congratulations. By the way, obviously I messaged you on your Instagram to say that, but congratulations with the newborn, and I'm sure that's been keeping you really busy the last little while, right?
There's a random baby sock in my desk that
Right.
I, so yeah, it's been, I think I've, yeah, just all sorts of, it's crazy what something so small can do and just like overtake the house. So it's been dope though, man. Yeah,
Yeah.
it's been.
How's the sleep going with that? The nutrition, the training? Do you feel like you're on point still with all that? I'm sure maybe at the beginning it was a little bit rocky, but how are you right now?
Good. I think like I hate it like even more now in hindsight when people who were fit prior to their baby are like, you could do it, your mom. And it's like, well, I was like fitness literate before this. So figuring out what can I do it's very easy. It's, yeah, I'll say it's easy. I have an internal drive to get these things done. And I know how to have 80% days when like most people would have had like negative 80% days. So,
Right.
it's been, I can see, I have empathy for parents a lot more than ever before because like taking care of yourself can really like fall on the back burner. Like me and Cynthia joke around about how like every day we pick something for ourselves and like I'll skip showers, but I'm going to the gym and thank God it's an empty gym that I'm going to right now. But
Right.
like I'll skip the shower, I'm going straight to the gym to make this happen. So,
Yes.
yeah, man, it's been eye-opening in many ways, but this stuff, it just takes care of itself. Like it's, some of the days aren't very glamorous looking. It's like, dude, I had six protein shakes today, but we get it done.
Right. Well, it's and for those listening, that's the ritual that you have with the shower before the gym. That's what you're referring to specifically, right?
Yeah, I like to go in
Yeah.
there clean, but some days it's like, oh, it's just gonna be muck on top of muck.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah, we just get it done, man. It makes me appreciate like the time I had to do things at my time. Like before baby, it was like, I don't feel like going right now. I'll eat and I'll push it back to the next like window or something so I can stay here and work or whatever. Like that's just not how it is right now. But I don't know, man. It's a new twist and I'm digging all the new challenges.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly, yeah, right. A new challenge. And with that, are you still rocking with the 3 days per week training schedule, or have you adjusted it since then?
I've had to adjust it. So first, I went from three to four because I started this training group, and to kind of put my money where my mouth is, I was like, "Hey, you know what? I'll do this block with you guys until the baby gets here." So I went to four. That I felt the difference in regards to like my week just felt more crowded. Like you have so much space when it's 3 days a week, and then now it's just kind of like, can I get out today? All right, let's go. Okay, what feels fresh? Let's hit that. Like that sort of deal. So it's been kind of like a bro split. Like today, I'm projected to hit chest and biceps.
Wow,
So.
that's fun. So you're kind of, it's funny. I was speaking with, don't think Ryan Doris has kids, but he was talking about how he was so preoccupied and so focused on that Pilates thing that he was doing that he was rocking with like a schedule that he would have never done when he was in his natural bodybuilding competitive days. And it sounds like you're kind of doing something different than what you were doing in all the years prior, for the most part, with how you're approaching the scheduling aspect of things, just because of the newborn and how you've had to adjust around your kid, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of again the just being fitness literate, right? So I guess a little broader than just bodybuilding literate, like a parent that's never been in shape, for example, it's like, man, I see these people on Instagram. They're like pushing the sled, they're doing the battle ropes, like they have their morning routines that take like 2 hours, whatever. And they're like, well, I just don't have the time for that. And it's like, no, you don't. But it's crazy how just doing a little something adds up. I always compare it to like bad habits. Like, whatever bad habit you have started out as something very small, but you just did it consistently. And eventually it turned into a bigger version of itself. And next thing you know, it's like, shoot, like I'm 5 years into doing this thing that I not really serving me at all. And I'm going to try to taper it off, and it's hard. So that's kind of how fitness is for me. It's like it's a habit, and I'll get some version of that habit in, almost regardless of like how the day is going. So like that's where, man, like I just wish the average person knew that you can do very little. You just have to be consistent with it, and eventually it amounts to something. So
The consistency part, especially in times of either when your whole life changes because you had a baby, or if you're dealing with really high levels of stress for other reasons, other life reasons. And I'm sure you're just like this. Well, we know you're just like this. You just mentioned it. But even in times of like high stress, I find that I'm still able to get it in, even if it's 2 to 3 times per week. But those workouts, I make them count. I just don't have the reserves to be able to do it as consistent as maybe I would if I wasn't as stressed out from whatever life is throwing my way in that scenario, right? But like these 2 to 3 workouts, they're really good workouts, but that's all I can manage from even a recovery standpoint, just because of the stress is so high. Have you experienced that as well, even before having the baby?
Yeah, man, I think, man, whether I prep is a good place to learn this, right? Because, man, some days are rough, and sometimes the way you have to check off the boxes wasn't the way you imagined it would take place when you woke up, right? But, like you get it done. It's one way or another. Like I think that's where bodybuilders really learn to check off boxes, is like when they prep. Because I tell my athletes all the time, it's like, hey, I know by the time the spreadsheet gets to me, like the numbers are where they need to be, like everything looks good, but I know that on your end, it took a lot of like piecing things together to make that happen. It looks neat and nice on the spreadsheet, but you had to maneuver to
Right.
make it happen. So yeah, just a little bit more maneuvering now, but I mean, that's just how my life is going to be moving forward in like one way or another. But I'll tell you what, it kind of like gets you into this spring cleaning mode where, you just don't have time for, I guess, like all the bullshit, right?
Right.
So you spend less time like self-pity or even like that example I mentioned previously, where it's like, I don't feel like training right now. I'm a move it back a few hours. Like I don't have time for that. It's like you just have to go. Like no time like now, which sometimes is the right answer. So yeah, it's a
Yeah,
learning experience for sure.
that's a great point that you brought up. I think a lot of people can take something from that, even if they are not in a similar situation as yourself, like just starting a family or whatnot. But hey, even just your normal day-to-day schedule, why do we tend to, what's the w right way I'm putting it, procrastinate on this thing that we know we if we do it now, for the most part, not. I've had scenarios where I've pushed it and it was a smart decision. And like you said, you don't have that luxury, so to speak, right now. But for the most part, I've always done better when I just get it done at the time I know I should be getting it done. And it just makes room for all the other more important things that I have to get done that day, right? But yeah, I could relate to that in to an
Or the
extent.
pursuit of optimal, like everyone wants to do whatever, as far as they understand, is optimal, and they stress out when that just can't happen, right? And it's like, well, in my experience, like I've had many episodes of this where what I thought was doing was optimal, and I was stressing to get that done. Some years go by, and I'm like, wow, that wasn't really as optimal as I thought, right? Like at some point I was trying to eat 7 meals a day, and there was days where that was like rough. I'm like, man, some of these meals are gonna have to be like an hour and a half apart because I'm getting close to my sleep time. or I started the day late,
Yeah.
and it would stress me out. And like now in hindsight, I'm like, okay, like yeah, I was sweating things that didn't really matter at all, or matter as much as I thought.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I think anybody, most people listening to this probably did the 6, 7 meals a day. And there's a time and a place where maybe that was fine. But when it starts to, when you get a lot of resistance for something like that, and if it starts off even right from the get-go, then like you mentioned, well, why do we put ourselves, why do we self-sabotage in these ways? It's like what you start thinking in hindsight, right? When you're looking back in hindsight.
Oh man, don't get me started on self. So self-sabotage, like it dawned on me recently that, like, why do we do it, right? And I think a lot of it is we're afraid to come up short, per the universe's like dress code. It's like, ah, you can't get in. Wasn't good enough, right? So sometimes, like, we self-sabotage because we'd rather, come up short because, I didn't really put everything into it, as opposed to putting everything into it and then finding out that that didn't meet the standard to accomplish that goal. When in reality, it's like, man, even if you come up short, like, because you did what you did, you will, your next 100% will be even greater. You learned all these skills along the way. And a big one is like, learning to be okay with coming up short. Like, if you're always winning, dude, it's like, you're, what are you playing basketball with, like, fifth graders, right? Like,
Right.
right. So you're probably selling yourself a little short when it comes to the things that you're trying to reach for. So, yeah, that one dawned on me recently. It's like, okay, so why do we self-sabotage? Okay, that makes sense. It's just, we don't want to come up short because it's embarrassing. It makes us deal with our current limitations in a very upfront way.
That is incredibly well said, and that is I it has me thinking for sure, because you appreciate a win so much more when you have put all your effort into something and you did come up short, but you put all that effort in, and then when you eventually get the win, wow, does that feel amazing, right?
Yeah. Or even when you lose, eventually you're like, you just become desensitized to it. You're like, because, it goes, even when you accomplish something, like, the goal itself isn't as tasty as maybe you imagined it, right? But you look back always and you're like, man, but, like, you reflect on the journey and you're like, man, I really admire how I did this and that to, get these things accomplished, right? So, yeah, there's much more than just winning, but those skills that you develop when to trying to exert yourself, when trying to unlock a new level, that's in actuality how you unlock new levels, is by taking up things that are, like, truly a challenge to you.
That's a great point, actually. I love that. With the we were talking before about the your program hoppers, right? The program hoppers, that's what the app is that correct? That you're running with the
So
group?
I just named it Progress,
Oh,
because
okay.
that's what we're all looking for. But at the end, I should have named it, like, Program Hoppers Anonymous, because that is, that is legitimately what I'm trying to counter here with people, is the fact that, especially in today's world, it's always been an issue, but it's very easy to think that you get this FOMO, like, when it comes to protocols, or you learn something new and you're like, oh, but, like, my current training program, which might be working, doesn't include this. So that's my goal, to basically just have these folks like, hey, let's stick to something, just do what I pump out for you every week and watch how well this is going to work, because for the first time ever, you have a lot more buy-in, I think, than you have when you're trying to construct your own thing. So that's my goal with it, man. It's just to get people on board, because I made most of my progress, and I think most of us more enlightened bodybuilders can say this. We made the bulk of our progress. Like, when it, in hindsight, you look back, you're like, ah, that was kind of misguided here and there. And, the methods, in hindsight, they lacked some. But you made progress because you showed up every day, you worked hard, and at least in the immediate sense, you had buy-in that this was the way.
Right. The buy-in is actually probably the most important thing for the progress part, right? On so many different levels, actually, whether it's training for what you're talking about now, whether it's like a therapy, whether it's anything, really, I feel like the buy-in is huge.
Like legit, man. So many people come to me and I think they make great progress. Yeah, I think my systems make sense, but also because they trust me and they can only think about it as much as they need to. But yeah, the buy-in, like, man, I've made some great progress from some programs in hindsight. I'm like, these things were pretty terrible, but I just kept showing up and I had buy-in.
The buy-in led to that effort, that unbelievable amount of effort that's required to see that progress for the most part, right? Like, yeah, if the structure is completely off, if you still have effort, you will make progress to an extent. Maybe not as good if it was organized a little bit better, catering to maybe some of the things it should be catering to better. But overall, like you know, and you've brought up so many of these posts from your past where you're like, oh, the execution or the way you were running it. But yet you made progress from a muscular development standpoint. Now, if that's all you care about, then great. But that's not necessarily all we care about. We want to make sure we're healthy along the way. And that's where the other things come into play. But yeah, that buy-in, man, that will lead to some unbelievable amounts of effort, I find.
Absolutely. And I see this with and I think it's fundamentally a good thing when people pick their coaches. They're legit sold on the fact that, you know what, everyone else is like wrong. This is the way to progress. I'm gonna mesh with Brian Miner. I'm a do my thing with Menno or whatever, right? So good. That's not a bad place to start, because if you have buy-in to this person's methods, you're going to work hard, as opposed to, going with someone that maybe you hear like this is the best thing, but like, you have your doubts, you don't know. That's just not going to work out. So I think when picking a coach, I think that's a big one. It's like, do I have buy-in that this person's methods or style, if you will, is going to get me where I want to go. But then eventually you do get to the point where you're kind of in this just echo chamber, and maybe what you need to do is venture outside of it and try a different go to a different dojo, like try that out. And really try to have the same form of buy-in. Try. It's hard.
Yeah.
Because I mean, often that is what I get. I get a lot of people who, and this is an easy set to pick on, but say they went with the local like coach, right? And usually, not always, because some people do this by choice, but if a coach stays local, that's because they haven't been able to like make it out to the mainstream, right? So they're like the local bodybuilding coach, and maybe their methods are just that severely outdated. But this person had a lot of buy-in when they started with him, and then they took a big leap of faith, and they're like, "All right, well, we're gonna try this calories in versus calories out thing. I don't trust it because, tilapia works, obviously, until it doesn't, right?" And then they come to me, and that was a big, brave step for them. And then they see some new progress unlocked. So, yeah, I think your first intervention, your first mentor could kind of be someone that, hey, when it comes to their methods, you have a lot of buy-in. But then eventually, again, we can kind of bottleneck ourselves where we're really only hanging out with like this group of people, or people that think exactly the way or view things exactly the way we do. And that's probably, once you're able to catch on to this, it's like, all right, maybe it's time to, I don't know, give this pencil necked fitness, evidence-based fitness guy a try.
Yeah.
So Well, sometimes it goes the other way around. Maybe you're too much of like a geek, and it's like, all right, let me go with this guy that's a little rough around the edges, and see if if I can learn some things from them. I've seen it work both ways.
Right. That's such a great thing you brought up, where with the local coach, and sometimes the methods might be outdated. Like I have a few experiences, and I think back to a few memories of that as well at the local gym. And he's a contest prep coach, and he's got everybody in the gym who wants to do a contest is working with him or her. And you think like, wow, because they're bought in, they are putting in a lot of effort, like tons of effort. But just because they're putting in tons of effort, yeah, it's not really, they could be getting better results if they were doing things more efficiently, right? And they'd be getting better results, and maybe it would cater to just a more, from a lifestyle standpoint too, like just things might operate smoother, right? So there's like a fine line, like, yeah, okay, effort's important, but you know this, and everybody, most people listening will know this, that just because you put in a ton of effort and you're working with whoever you're working with, maybe there, you got to go to that other side of the coin and experiment with that, or give it a chance if you come across something that's challenging your thoughts there, and you're thinking about like, hey, yeah, maybe this isn't the best way to go about this, best, quote unquote best, right? Or maybe there's a better way. Maybe that's a better way to put it, right?
Yeah, you might be eating ice cream with a fork and not even realize it.
Perfect. That's well said. That's well said. Yeah, I love that. So it's interesting you said that though, because you guys at 3D MJ, the crew, so to speak, if I want to work with you guys, I don't really have much say who I get to work with. Are you guys still rolling with that rule?
Yeah, we're still rolling with that. We did recently pop up a new service where it's a video consult Q&A. I think for that it's like, okay, maybe you really want to get deep into the weeds. I don't know, someone wants to get RKC certified, but they're a bodybuilder, and it's like, hey, there's only one guy, that's Brad, who would be able to really help them when it comes to that specific task. So yeah, we've been outside of that, it's like, no, it's based on availability. And the thing about us is that we all have some pretty good breath when it comes to handling different sorts of people. And yeah, we're just pliable with our systems. Like, here's the thing. It's like, I have a bunch of programs out there that people are running that you would never suspect is coming from the same coach. You know, the big rocks, the fundamental principles are in place, but they're totally different, you know, because the athlete's totally different. And obviously goals differ, you know, even within the body recomp world. So yeah, we all have this good breath, and we're very pliable. And I think that's the thing that I am most proud of, is that there is no 3D muscle journey way. And I think that's where we get our buy-in from our athletes, is yeah, they don't have a way, they don't have a method. They take the data that is there, my goals, and through that they generate protocols that make them more likely to reach their outcomes.
Right. Nice, man. I love that. When you were competing, so hold on, we didn't talk. Last time we talked was before the
Oh, that's right.
universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
Yes,
universe.
yes.
When you won Mr. Universe, natural Mr. Universe, WMBF, big win. Congratulations in person on that, or in person, face to face via Zoom, right? What did that mean to you, man? Let's talk about that. I know it was a while ago, but I want to tap into that a little bit, the mindset, maybe a little bit of the training around that time frame, and how maybe, yeah, if you were doing things different, even from a structural standpoint, not just the fun stuff that people like to hear, the split and all that. I'm not talking about that. I just mean in terms of what is consistent from then, even now, like from the training as well. But yeah, dive into that. What did that experience feel like, and how was it?
Yeah, I think it comes from a so I'll start with this. There's a little bit of privilege, like when I say this, because I've been fortunate enough to have a good amount of winning when I look at like my resume. I think my last three amateur shows, like I won overalls, so not just my division, but the overall. I don't have as many pro wins, but like it's always very likely that I'll end up somewhere in the top five, top three in most shows. So for me, the winning, here's the thing, it's like I've done decent backsliding with my physique, right? Like I've had seasons where, I mean, you look at all like pro athletes, you look at their stats and you go to the back of the card, it's like, oh, this year he averaged 21 points per game, but then the next year 16, and things kind of fluctuate, right? And I've had that with my physique as well, where for a number of different reasons, like I've backslid and I've still done okay. So to me, it's like it's not as much about the wins as like early on, I can kind of just tell as the season is kind of forming into shape, like whether or not this is going to, has it been successful? Is it going to be successful? So the winning is more like, it's like, okay, well, that cool, right? But it doesn't mean nearly as much as me being able to get my physique to do the things I wanted to do. On the competitive aspect, what I do take pride in, so this is where you do get a little bit of the competitor in me, is being able to beat individuals, at least on that day. Like having like a hunter has these heads in their living room, right? Like having just heads of many different bodybuilders that I respect and I admire, and I'm like, man, like I got to one up you on this day. That to me, like on the competitive side, more than the wins, like that if we're getting into just the competitive nature of bodybuilding, it's like, okay, got to win against that guy. I got to win against that guy. And so if I have to pick my resume in regards to like my baseball card with the stats in the back, a big stat line that would matter to me is just that would be like, okay, who have you beat? Right? Who have you beat? Because I think that's more telling. Because I've done shows where I've done well, and I'm like, geez, like I hope so, right? So winning the universe, I think, yeah, there was a number of really good bodybuilders there that I respect and I admire as competitors that I was like, oh, okay, I was able to edge you out today. So pretty cool. But the win itself was more like, I'm kind of, my pulse already goes up, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
With the universe, that was a big show at the time, though, when you competed. Like, was there a lot of competitors?
Yeah, so it was there was like seven competitors in all, but I think my biggest thrill was just being, and he's gonna tag me again at some point. I know he will, because that's just the nature of the sport. But being able to edge out like Rob Peacock, like because we're very different physiques, very different methods of being successful.
He was at that sh he was competing at that show with you. Oh man, I didn't know that. And he's going back quite a while, Rob Peacock, right? Like people might not know this, but wasn't he competing in like the early 2000s or maybe even before then?
In the 2000s, before the 2010s, and
Dang.
he's DFAC world champ. He's got one of those physiques that if you were to tell even the majority of like bodybuilders who compete untested, like, yeah, that guy's natural, they'd be like, no freaking way, like that kid's, he's lying,
Right.
so just a mountain of a man.
So you won up them that day, huh? Well, you won the
On that
show, so of
day,
course, yeah, that's awesome. That is fun.
on that day, on that day,
Yeah.
yeah. But very easily, next time we compete, the tables can turn. So,
What do you think it was on that day that made you have that one up from relative to Rob too? Because did Rob come second?
yeah, he came second.
Okay. So yeah, talk to me about that because I'm curious.
I think, I don't know, people when they think of like me as a competitor, they think of conditioning. And I'd say my conditioning is, I don't know, it's really good. It's excellent, for sure. But there's guys in the pro at the pro level that do get leaner than I do. They're just not as mainstream in the mainstream, right? I think always like my secret sleeper weapon is my symmetry, like my bone structure is very advantageous for bodybuilding. So I think it was a battle of I think it was my symmetry that they got me like beyond him. And so that's how I won that show, because I wasn't fully cooked yet. I still needed like 2 pounds to come off.
Yeah, because you had the worlds. You were competing at worlds that same year. So, and this was 2020. This was just last year, right? Do I have that right?
22, so it feels
Dang,
like
man.
last
Time.
year. Yeah.
Holy smokes. Did I really go a whole year and I didn't bring you on to talk about that? I can't believe it. I think there's a part of me that I'm like, I don't want to keep bothering the crew, right? Because I always am trying to get you guys on. Like, so I maybe it was around a time where I wanted to pull back a bit because I had just spoken to one of you guys, and you don't want to take advantage to that extent. So, but nonetheless, we're here now, so that's fun. So 2022 with Rob, he's a heavyweight, right? Dang, that's always fun when a lightweight can, he can one up the heavyweight. That's always a fun deal, right?
Although, like, I mean, I don't think it matters as much as people think it matters, you
Okay,
know?
talk about that.
So this is funny, and not to knock on like Lane. Lane is, I love Lane. Like, Lane's my boy. He does a lot of good work out there. Some people would argue maybe his way, but it works, you know?
Right.
I remember when I was getting coached by him, like, I remember Lane was like, I sent him some pictures, and he's like, "Yeah, you remind me a lot of like me when I was like, you know, like younger." And I'm like, "Did you just compare our physiques?" Like, I was like, "We're different things, bro. Like, we are different. Like, you might have 30 pounds on me on stage, and a lot of people would see the stat line because we're similar heights. But with all due respect to Lane, like, if I ever lost to Lane in the bodybuilding stage, I'd be pretty fucking pissed off. So, you know,
Okay.
I feel like mostly because I didn't do my job somewhere, obviously, you know."
Right. And that's
Yeah,
from
so
a symmetry standpoint we're talking about here now. We're talking about like how pleasing the physique is relative to what judges are looking for bodybuilding, that's what we're talking, that's what you're talking about here.
so I mean, symmetry is I guess the way I view it is like a song can be good, but how well is it being played, right? So this could be your favorite song, and this cover band's playing it, and they just keep messing, you know, like, oh. So that's what like symmetry that is lacking kind of does to you. It's like, okay, the muscularity there and the conditioning's there, but there's so many like, like, whereas symmetry, it's not left to right. It's not necessarily calves compared to arms. Like, it's a lot of subtle things. Like, for example, on a front lat spread, like the length between the ratios between your humerus and your ulna, right? And then the height of your torso, like, they all play a role. Like, some people, like, good symmetry, for example, in the front lat spread looks like the Superman emblem, like a diamond, right? Some people just have this limb length where it's like, that thing looks a little crooked. It looks like a $5 logo you got on Fiverr, right? Like,
Yes. Or
and
square.
just
It
to
looks just like a block, right? Some guys are just built that way, right?
Or if they have to, when they, you know, hook their arms into their body, it just they can't get a good lat spread because of the position it puts them in. So symmetry is one of the things that you have the least control over, I feel. I'd say even more than muscularity to some extent, because it's just your bone structure for the most part. Symmetry is a sneaky thing that I think is probably my most valuable asset as a bodybuilder by far, is the sneaky, sleepy symmetry. Because I have a small bone frame. Not all my muscle bellies are very round, but the skeleton that it all sits on is decent.
That's a beautiful thing, though. That's the beautiful thing about natural bodybuilding, or just bodybuilding in general. But we're talking about, our world here, where it's you don't have to be the biggest guy. Like, you don't have to be a heavyweight. You don't have to be a middleweight. Like, you don't have to be obsessed with hitting that number or this number when it comes to the stage. From what I've heard, speaking to a lot of the guys, yourself right now, it's yeah, you could have guys like you or Brian Whitaker, where it's just something so beautiful about how the physique is being presented because of that genetic component, man. Genetics, it's a beautiful thing, right?
Yeah, so you said Brian Whitaker, and me and Eric were having this discussion, right? Like, it was among other things, this bodybuilding talking shop, Eric and the rest of the guys. And I mentioned, okay, so like Doug Miller at his peak. Because, you know, bodybuilding is bad about getting the news out. It's like, it was getting better, but like we used to have to wait like 5 days to see the pictures of the lineups we've been dying to see, right? From someone's like, someone's dad's camera, right? But I was like thinking like back to like when Doug was at his peak, probably still has a lot of good leftovers, might be even better. You never know with that guy. But who could beat him? And I was thinking, man, if like news traveled back that somehow, I don't know, they did the old Cape Cod show or something, and Brian Whitaker had edged out Doug Miller, I'd be like, damn, I could see that. I could see it. Because, like, he is very, I don't know if you follow boxing, but like Jamal Crawford, like, he does some things where I'm like, that was such a risky counter. It was like Matrix, like slow motion. Like, here comes a punch and he's like sliding through and like he gets there in time. Like, that is Brian Whitaker when it comes to bodybuilding. It's like somehow, some way, you wouldn't bet on him. Like, even if you saw his physique, like posing by himself. But like, once he's up there with these guys, he is so like damn effective that you're just like, respect, bro. Like, so yeah, I remember Brian at his peak. I'm like, there's virtually like you could beat anyone on this planet on any given day. So
That's like if you were just for fun, since we brought it up, we're talking shop now. If you were gonna pick like a top five lineup on stage that it would be really hard to see who's coming out on top at their peak, what would that look like? Like a top five, we'll call it the Super Bowl of like the Olympia, the WNBF Worlds, DFAC Worlds. We're taking it from all the generations. Off the top, eh? Because I know you're like, okay, I got to sit down for this one and map it out. Off the top, what would that look like, you think?
yeah,
Like a
off the
top
top, because
five.
those are the
That's
names that just
tough.
pop up, right,
Just
without
pop
filtering
up.
too
But
much, right?
that's the best
Yeah.
part. That's the best part, right?
Okay, so all eras, they're at their best. The lineup would have to be Rob Hope, peaked out Philip Ricardo Jr. Let's see, Doug Miller, Martin Daniels. And then finally, I'd have to throw Brian in there because he'd be the least likely, right? You're like, one of these things is not like the other. But same thing, if that show was ran and, you know, we have to hear through the grapevine, like, what happened? You're texting your friends, who's winning, what's taking place? Because that's how it is in natural bodybuilding, unfortunately. It's getting better. But, and Brian, they're like, dude, Brian cleaned up that show. I would be like, he just
You
got
wouldn't
that
be,
dog in him, man. I would not be surprised. Yeah.
What about, okay, now you got a wild card. All right, think about this one. Wild card.
Kai Greene stays natural.
Yes, I like that one. That's it. That's it right there. Say no more.
And
Hey, that is real, bro. That's WMBF right there, world champion, right? So he stays natural. He's in that lineup for sure. That is funny.
yeah, he's about 35, you know, stayed
Yeah,
natural.
35 stayed natural. He probably has a good 10 pounds of extra muscle on him now, right? From the time he won Worlds at the WNBF. That's funny, man. Wow. You know who I try to get in touch with that he's a hard man to reach these days, but Jim Cordova. And
Oh.
he's not really in bodybuilding anymore, but hey man, I'm still putting in that work to see if I can have a conversation with him. But that I'd have to say he would be interesting up there with the guys you mentioned, though, for sure.
I think he congratulated me after one of my showings last year. So he's still kind of got one. So I wouldn't be surprised if we had a gym comeback.
Hey everyone, quick announcement. Just want to let you all know that we recently launched Longevity Muscle Magazine on Substack. That's longevitymuscle.substack.com. That's where you'll be able to get full access to the magazine once you subscribe. As a subscriber, you will get early access to knowing which guests we have on the podcast, so you can participate in our Q&As. Essentially, if you have a question for one of our guests, that's where you'll be able to participate and ask whatever questions that you have. Not only that, but we will also be publishing written articles every single week. For more details on what you get as a subscriber, hit the link in the show notes where it will direct you to longevitymuscle.substack.com. For those of you who subscribed already, thank you so much. It's greatly appreciated and it really does help grow the show so that we can continue to help elevate and support natural bodybuilding and the community. That's all for now. Let's get right back into the episode. You wouldn't be surprised if we had a gym comeback. That's where you left off.
I wouldn't, just because of the way natural bodybuilding works. You know, he might be like, let me throw some spice into my life. But I think when it comes to bodybuilders that were instrumental to like my like inspirations, right? Even though I knew we played very different games at a fundamental level, I remember it was him and Jeff Rodriguez were probably, and from it, me and Jeff were going to the same gym, and dude, he kind of went towards the MPC now, but he was lights out. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
That's where he went to. I was wondering, you know what's so funny about Jeff Rodriguez? No joke, bro. I have an article pulled up on my computer right now from Muscle and Strength. I was looking it up because I'm like, what happened to this guy? I was thinking maybe I could get in touch, but he's clearly not doing the natural thing anymore, right?
No, he's not. Okay. And here's the deal, like, and I think I can disclose this now. I felt uncomfortable doing it, but it's so obvious. Jeff is a robot. Like a robot. Like he's very cut and dry, fun guy, but that's Jeff. And I remember this was 2014. I was thinking about doing the NPC Team Universe. And like, you know, that show's always kind of been like natty light, right? You know, it's like, hey, just don't get caught, bro. Right. Yeah, don't make it too obvious. Yeah. So he had always done that show and nothing else. And that's just Jeff, because that's how his mind works. It's like, okay, this is my goal. I will keep trying this until I win. And so people always gain flack about that. It's like, how come you're not competing in tested federations? Right. And so I'm like, hey, Jeff, I'm going to do the Team Universe this year. Do you want to head up together and like maybe like share a room or something? And Jeff was like, very short email. He was like, Alberto, I can't do the Team Universe anymore because I'm no longer natural.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how that went.
Yeah. Maybe I made him sound a little bit too robotic, but he's like, I no longer qualify for it. And I'm like, wow, if like the world could just see this email and be like, oh shoot, he was natural, you know?
Because clearly he wouldn't have spelled it out like that if he was doing it the dirty way all those other years, right? So it was clear. Yeah. It's super clear from what you're saying now. It's like, nah, man, this guy was, and then he's telling you now, communicating that he's not, and he's honest about it, and that's why he's not rolling with you, right?
Yeah. I was like, simple. Wow. And the thing is that natty light anyways, like he probably could have hopped the gun under the radar and done it, but he chose not to. So just made me admire the guy even more for the bodybuilder he is.
Do you think in the early WMBF days that was a little bit more common, like where you could slide under the radar?
Maybe. I guess I didn't get to compete during that time, so I don't know what the procedures looked like exactly. But man, I guess I just see more of it's the, and people will surely say that, oh, it's political. Of course, you don't want to have your big time athletes pop. Right. But it's more of like the amateurs that can't believe that, man, like that's what the pros look like. Surely on something that tend to try to dabble in, you know, not getting caught basically. So yeah, a lot of those guys are so gung-ho about it. They show up every year at the same stage weight. Do you know how hard that would be?
That's true. If they're showing up at the same stage, it's not like they're making these drastic changes at the end of the day, right? Like even I'm talking like the Cordova era too, like the Dave Gooden era, like where pro hormones were also pretty hot at that time too, right? So I'm not even talking about like maybe the fancier stuff that, you know, they're taking in the IFBB, but Yeah, when you say it like that, and if these guys have spelled it out like, nah, I didn't do it. Well, you got no choice but to just, well, you do have a choice. I should say it like this. Give them the benefit of the doubt, man, because we know how crazy this natural bodybuilding thing can get from a like what it like not just a genetic standpoint, but just what we've seen so far over the years. Like you're telling me everybody with an amazing world-class physique is on? Come on, we know that's not true, right? So what, why is it different? Why is it different in the early 2000s than it is now? Like,
And I'll tell you what, man. I there's levels to this. I'm at a decent level, but so there's guys like that. It's like they're outside my range, like for sure. But I think a lot of the people who are like the Natty or Juice form, like a lot of the people, if they saw my everyday life, they would be like, "Oh, that's underwhelming." It's like actually pretty simple and pretty straightforward. So yeah, man. No, I think the banned substance list is always like a few years behind because like SARMs come out, right? This new
Right.
stimulant comes out. So sometimes that does happen, but I think generally speaking, like these people are who they say they are. Because most of them, all the best guys have like they don't even have like their head in the pot in the fitness industry. It's like, I don't know, they go, they're a pastry chef or something.
Right. Right. Yeah, no, that's facts. So what I was gonna ask you was, because you were talking about the training. Now you're kind of doing more of a bro-ish type of split. You gave the reasons for why that is, of course. What's that looking like though? Like on a day-to-day basis, is it just you pair two body parts together based on recovery? Is it as simple as that?
Yeah, and then also there's just things that I know match up well. Like for example, like if I did triceps before, that's why there's a chest and biceps, right?
Hmm.
So yeah, there's like a rotation of things that I hit. But like my pulling day has a lot of triceps, for example, right? Just to minimize overlap, and I think that's why the bro split is so popular because it's very easy to organize to create minimal overlap. That's all splits are really trying to do. But at the end, like the training frequency, like twice a week, whatever. So it's not like when we were on that frequency bandwagon, like when you would roll up to bodybuilding shows, you could see that, oh, that guy does body parts once a week, that guy two, this dude three or four. Like, no. But crazy powerlifting, there's a very obvious difference. Like one of the reasons the records have moved up like so much in recent years, yeah, the gene pool, but also like these dudes, like they see some very clear differences when they change like lifting frequency because it is a skill sport, right? So when they go from like benching once a week to three times a week in a well-planned out manner, they see that thing skyrocket, you know? So, but with us, doesn't seem to matter nearly as much. Think of it this way: it takes about 3 weeks for muscles to atrophy, right? So if you're spending a little bit less time in between bouts, if anything, it kind of guarantees that you're like really fresh and ready when you go in there. Like you're going to be over recovered for sure. And whatever backslide it might have taken because there was such distance between bouts, it's probably so minuscule that it's a net win once you like pump it full with stimulus. So yeah, it hasn't really messed with my mind at all. Like I'm like, oh, if anything, it's fun and different.
Right. Yeah, because before you had the newborn, you were running with that two upper days and a lower day. You were pretty, that was the thing that you were rolling with for a while. And when you switched to this, like objectively speaking, would you say there's like a difference in how your physique looks just from the arrangement itself, or as long as the effort's being put in, the frequency of how often you're hitting stuff hasn't really made that much of a difference? That's what I'm kind of curious
No,
about.
because our lifts are pretty low skill anyways, so it's not like I have to practice them, especially not at this point in my career. And then physique looks different, but for different reasons. Like now I'm a little bit more inflamed all the time. So I guess like the residue of a pump. But then when I was doing 3 days a week, I was always like full from a glycogen standpoint. So I could just tell it's like different sort of volume, but for different reasons. The inflammation bit looks a little bit more impressive than just being full at a from a glycogen standpoint, when you're like at off season levels of body fat.
Right. Which you are right now.
Yeah, which for me is, I think a lot of people would classify as like really lean, but it's
Right.
I'm like 15 over.
Yeah, that's good, man. That's pretty lean. So, but off season for you and relative to what your contest weight is. With the volume itself, though, like, because is it kind of similar still? Like, of course, the frequency is changed quite a bit, but the volume, like, we'll say how many sets or so per week or whatnot. Are you still looking at it as a 7 day thing, or is it more kind of, hey, whenever I get these body parts in, it might even be over 10 days potentially. Is that kind of how you're rolling with it these days?
So I'm blasting it a little bit more. So maybe volume's increased by 25%, but not much. Just because I don't know. It's like, when's the next time I'm gonna get some direct bicep work in? Let's do it.
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, that's understandable for sure. And how often are you training at this point now? Does it kind of depend on the week?
It varies from 2 to 5.
Oh, it does vary from 2 to 5. Okay, gotcha. And if you know it's going to be two, it'll be like you're going to try to hit everything on those 2 days, or it just carries over.
I just kind of keep going in that rotation,
Got it.
again, you
Got
have like
it.
a 3 week point before, like, okay, maybe we start to see significant like downgrade in the size of that muscle, right? So if I have to put it on the shelf for 10 days, 12 days, I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll be guaranteed a very good training session. That's
Yes.
all.
Yes. Do you think that this is something you'll roll with for the foreseeable future based on, of course, life circumstances, or do you think you'll be changing things for various goals coming up soon?
I'll probably want to go back to something a little bit more structured. A lot of this is just mimicking the baby's patterns, which right now are very unpredictable. But once she becomes more predictable, I need to get more predictable so that we can coexist. But for now, this works. And again, I'm so happy, so fortunate that, again, I'm like very literate when it comes to this stuff. So it's been easy for me to like hang tight when it's really hard to for most people who find themselves in a similar situation, whether they've never trained, they want to get into shape, or they've trained like a fraction of the time I have, and they have a situation like this come up. I just kind of know how to roll with it and do the best I can. So I'm eating ice cream with a fork for sure, but I'm still eating ice cream.
Yes. No, that's it's interesting. Like, because I don't have kids right now, but it's gets you thinking. Like, hey, if I do or when I do, man, it's probably going to be something similar. I'm learning something. Let's just put it that way right now, because I'm sure you picked up something from Jeff or some of your buddies that maybe who have kids and are into this. Like, I think Brian has kids, right? So I'm sure
Oh
you
yeah.
picked up a few things on how to do this in the right way to cater to the right things, right?
Yeah, you'll see. You know so much more and than you think you do, and your skill set, it'll come in handy, and like you'll be like one of them people naked and afraid that just made it.
Yes. Your training leading up to the universe, what with like as far as how it relates to now, which is a totally for a totally different goal, different thing. What was that like? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 5 days a week, and it was shoulders, arms, posterior chain lower, a pull day, quad dominant lower, and then a full upper body day.
That's right. I remember that. And you did the 5 days just to spread out that volume a bit more during contest prep, because it's easy. Is that easier for from a recovery standpoint, you found at least personally?
Yeah, I did, but also, I think already from a skill standpoint, I've improved a lot when it comes to, first of all, identifying what was actually generating the most of the progress. So it's like, okay, let's trim the fat. And then also from my movement execution, my movement selection. So all the 3 day split really did is like, all right, I just made budget cuts. And it's like, right, this is what's moving the needle. Let's do this stuff. And I've actually joked around with the fact that I might do 3 days a week when I prep, because I think it's gonna maybe allow me to get to deeper levels of body fat. Because, right?
Interesting. I'm gonna continue before I bring up my thought with that.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. When I know for me, after especially like a tough lower body day, like, don't schedule big projects afterwards, 'cause I'm gonna be garbage, right?
Right.
So it's very similar to how a hard day at work, and if you're training after, it can make you feel not so good for your session. So stress is stress at the end, even when it comes to the stress that we get from this thing we love, training. So the way I look at it is dieting is harder when you have stressful days. And by having only as much stress as I require on the training front, it's going to allow me to dive deeper when it comes to how lean I can get.
Okay, see that I can understand for sure, especially with the leg days, the grueling leg days, or even like a heavy upper body day, like a lot of compounds maybe in an upper body day. The next day I'm not really useful from a training standpoint, right? So that's facts, right? So I've learned to appreciate the recovery aspect in between sessions, right? Versus my younger days where you get a little bit too eager and for the reasons that I can still appreciate in my younger days, of course, because I just didn't have the skills in those younger days. Just like I'm sure when you look back, you're like, okay, but that was for that time, right? But as you develop these skills, it's just, yeah, you get so much more efficient with this thing, right?
Kasim Hansen said something a few years back that like stuck with me. That was that bodybuilding is a sport of over recovery. And I think we tend to forget that. Sometimes we're like, especially with the training set, we're like the bodybuilding is a sport of being proactive. Let's do this just in case. When so much of what matters is like, how's your game outside the gym? So a lot of people, when they're stuck, they try to look for things inside that gym. And it's like, maybe you're just doing something fundamentally wrong when it comes to how you handle your life outside the gym. It could be as simple as like your sleeping arrangement, how you manage stress, relationships, friends that you might have that are causing you stress, whatever. It's worth digging into just as much as you might, want to be trying to split hairs between what your leg day should look like.
Yeah, staying up in all hours of the night trying to fiddle with your program. It's like, bro, go to bed. You're disrupting the next day's training session, right? You already know, because I know I've been there, and I know anybody who's in this has been there, who loves this whole training thing and the programming and all that fun stuff, right?
Yeah, it's not bodybuilding you imagined when you started, but it's just as important.
Right. What is it about, I think a lot of bodybuilders just in general, when it comes to contest prep, that you feel like, I feel from what I've observed, I can only go based upon that, that there's this like almost need to want to add more during contest prep. Like, let me do a fourth or a fifth day. But then all of a sudden in the off season, you're doing 3 days. And I don't think it's necessarily laziness. I think like in the off season, I just think more so maybe, and you're going to speak to this more accurately than I'm giving you it now, but I have this thought that maybe it's because you want to leave no stone left unturned. You're getting ready for a contest. It's like, you feel like maybe that more is better. You have that, you default back to that, like more is better, right? What do you think about that though? Am I way off with that, or do you think there's some legitimacy to that?
No, it's a very common mistake, I think, especially with newer bodybuilders. I think a lot of it just comes down to not trusting what you know. Because if you're pretty sure that this is what's doing what, then you have that basis covered, right? If you're like, okay, these three exercises for my biceps in these sequence, like that has me covered. I thought about this deeply. It makes sense. And then you get to these points in the prep where you always feel behind, you always feel like you're not looking right. Just bound to happen to everyone, where you start to not trust this plan that at some point, when you're clear-minded, you put together. And it's almost, I think for some bodybuilders, hard work is kind of like their blankie, right? It's like their safe space where it's like, because I mean, think about it, early on it gets us out of so many situations. Like that is the answer. The answer is like, I think you had four more reps in that leg press, but then eventually it does get to a point where actually you might want to leave a few more reps in reserve in a number of these exercises when you're prepping. So, and that feels unsafe. You don't trust that. So it's, to me, it just shows that whatever you think you know, you probably haven't thought about as deeply when you're in a more peaceful state of mind, which is outside of the contest prep.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, that'll have people thinking. Like, do you find that I'm going to list a few names here, but from all the people I've spoken to, like all the natural bo bodybuilders, a lot of them at the world class level, right? But do you find that, like, let's take a Ben Howard, for example. This guy trains like 3 days a week, right? Like, I don't know. When I see that, I'm even more sold now. I'm like, oh, this could be done. When I saw you do it, I'm like, huh. Maybe I don't need four. Like, you start thinking about it in a different way. Like, yeah, maybe. And then you start to, and then all of a sudden you dropped to three just from a more having more recovery. And all these numbers you start to break past these plateaus, if you will. I like to use this word, but it's really, I don't know if we can call it that. It's just you start to see numbers go up in a way that they weren't before when you were training a little bit more. So, did you have an experience with that when you shifted down to 3 days just from having a bit more recovery, like from a progress standpoint?
I saw, yeah, metrics going up. I think also the post-contest period recovery like was very efficient. Like I didn't get that weird body fat storage that everyone gets post-show. You know, it all goes to the gut, right? So I'm like, wow, this is the appropriate amount of stress for this period in time. And I just stayed in tune with that. And man, quite often your body is telling you, once you get to the point where you know how to work hard enough, your body is telling you like what's right and what's wrong. But I think people tend to ignore those signals. And I think that is something that especially elite athletes that sometimes we view as like maybe they're lazy. Yeah, sometimes there's things they can be doing a little bit better, but I think they get such immense biofeedback from their training that they kind of know to like Jeff, for example, right? To like, you know what, this is plenty, right? I'll leave it here. And that's a combination of, again, like being clear-minded when it comes to your assessments, and then also just again listening to your body in real time. This is kind of in the powerlifting world, but I was discussing this with the other coaches in the meeting, and it was Ray Williams, you know, the world-class powerlifter, squats over 1,000 pounds drug-free. I remember it was before 2015 Raw Nationals. Like he was just feeling off, and I remember he just posted this in his Instagram story. It was just a picture of him doing leg extensions, and he's like, my body's telling me like I just need to leave it here, so I'm just leave it here and I'm gonna leave it to God. And I'm sure a lot of noobs that were just out there grinding away were like, that's so backwards, you know. But he
Right.
ended up having a sensational meet. He showed up. He actually lifted very well that day. So it worked out. So yeah, there's a time to push, but then there's also a time to pull, and kind of learning what the right ratios of that are under different circumstances is it's a skill worth learning, and I think one of the stepping stones to mastery in this domain.
That was beautifully well said. Love that. Great way to end off. And well, let's leave it here. What's next for you?
I might start a prep in May, June. I think we will see. I don't want to do it and just kind of feel rushed and like sneak in, but it might have certain elements of that. Like I might just do a world's qualification, maybe a local NPC show for fun, and then do worlds, and that's
Nice.
it. I had thoughts of like, oh, I want to do that show in Dubai, and you know, so competitively, we might just keep it closer to home just because I don't want to be far away from home right now. So there's that, and then I think on the just I want to get better at being a good educator. So as much as I look at bodybuilders that I still there's people out there who I admire. I'm like, man, I love how you do work, you know. I need me some of that. Same thing when it comes to like educators in our field. Like I and actually I'll venture into other fields and other domains, and I'm like, all right, let me see how this person works. Because if you ever seen someone who is very good, very well versed in their world, and they're teaching others how to do it, it's almost like magic. It's a skill. You're almost seeing, it's almost a performance art. So that's something that I want to get better at, because I feel that I've accumulated enough knowledge that if anything, the bottleneck right now is my ability to get the message across in a, easy to understand, fluid manner that gets people excited to get to work.
Nice. Is that where some of those clips that you were posting on Instagram are generated from? That thought?
And obviously they're on bottleneck, I think 90 seconds. So it's been a great exercise where it's like, okay, it has to be appropriate for 90 seconds, right? There's certain things that are not appropriate for 90 seconds. And then I have to get this message across in a way that both hooks the person. There's very unethical ways to hook people, but an ethical way, hook them, which sometimes might mean I use the same procedures that the unethical crowd uses, but at the end I have this I guess self-belief that my message is generally a good one, and I am not just here to use you during your 3-year stint in the fitness industry and then wait for the next incoming class. So like I'm not going to be around forever, so I want to add to the collective that is out there. Eventually all my stuff will be buried like underground and no one will remember what I did, but I don't need people to know it came from me. I just need this to help better future generations.
Right. No, that's a solid mission from a philosophical standpoint too, right? I like that. And with the worlds, is that next year? I'm assuming that's next year, right?
This year.
Oh
It'll be
man,
this
you're
year.
going hard then with the prep, huh? You're gonna go with a more aggressive prep, I assume. Or no, you're only 15 pounds away. That's right. Yeah, you're not that 240 pound Berto like you were almost. No, no. It's funny. I just admit that sometimes that picture comes to my mind when I'm talking about the bulk, when I'm talking with other bodybuilders about like how far away they are from stage weight, and we get into that whole debate, right? Well, not debate, but that conversation, if you will. Sometimes your picture will pop up into my head because you've referred back to it a few times, right? Over the years, at
And
least.
muscle is like makeup for body fat. So I remember when I was 250, like I just looked like a collegiate fullback. Like I had
Yes.
bicep veins. If I flex my abs, I get the abs to flex. And
It's crazy.
so people don't realize that contest shape is just, it's like it's a different animal altogether. So that's why I'm 15 away, because I respect the task and
Yes.
I don't want to jeopardize the hard-earned muscle that I have put on, hopefully.
Yes. No, absolutely. Makes total sense. And Berto, if this was a fantastic chat. I really enjoyed it. I hope you did as well. And if the listeners want to get in touch with you, whether it be through your program app now that you're running the group or coaching, what is the best place for them to reach you?
So 3D Muscle Journey, when it comes to everything that me and the team, 3DMuscleJourney.com, that we're doing. So through there, you can find everything, keep up with basically all of us and what we're putting out there. And then, I do have the training app, the progress group, where, man, it's a good group of guys. We keep ourselves accountable. That's been the best thing. I feel like it's a great way to help a lot of people cut their teeth when it comes to just being consistent and stop getting in their own way.
Awesome. I'll make sure to link all that in the show notes, as always, of course. And make sure to reach out if you want that elite level coaching. Elite level meaning these guys are great, man. I have it from personal experience, right? So when I worked with Helms back in 2013, I always bring that up any chance I get. Just awesome group of guys. So if you are interested in coaching, definitely check out Team 3DMJ. We'll leave it at that, man. Anything you want to end off with before you go?
It's been a pleasure, man. It's been
Yeah,
a
cool.
pleasure. I always enjoy your podcast, Steve Hall's podcast, like being on him. And then finally, thank you so much for getting me in touch with, not getting me in touch, but telling me to. It's like, hey, can you figure out how to get Craig Toth? He's been on the podcast,
Yeah.
one of my athletes. Like he passed away, and I'm glad you got over to me in the nick of time, because we were able to make we surprised them with a call from Arnold. So that was Yeah,
Yeah.
that was pretty dope that we were able to arrange. And it kind of goes to show you, it's like, because maybe I got it rolling, but I depended on so many other people to make this really good thing happen. So I put it out there, and then all these folks like were just like reaching out, like, okay, I know his barber. I know the guy who washes his cars. I know someone who's currently working on a project with him, and we made it happen. So it kind of goes to show you, like, yeah, we can generate some really good things when we work together. That's what that showed me, and I was immensely happy that we were able to make that happen for Craig.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah, that was a very special moment, I'm sure, for him. And I'm glad that I was able to play just w a small part in making that happen. So that was yeah, that was really nice to see. And I'm glad that it worked out, that you're able to get in touch with the right people for that. So, and if for those listening, we did an episode with Craig, of course, and it's on of course, the if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, just search up the name. You can hear his story, and it's also on YouTube as well, the full episode, so you could check it out there. Yeah, man, thank you once again, Berto. Always a pleasure. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope, yeah, enjoy that fatherhood.
I will, man. I will. We're swimming upstream, but I'm loving it.
Good, man. Good. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, make sure to share and tag us on social media, whether it be Instagram at Longevity Muscle or at Longevity Muscle Podcast. Also, check out Longevity Muscle on YouTube. That's where we're posting videos pretty much every day. So if you haven't already, subscribe because it does help grow the channel and the show. If you are on Instagram, make sure to give us a follow because that also helps grow the channel and the show and everything we're trying to do here with Longevity Muscle, Longevity Muscle Podcast, and Longevity Muscle Magazine, which is brand new for those of you who may not know or haven't heard about or missed the announcement. Longevity Muscle Magazine is where we're uploading written articles. We're going to be introducing exclusive articles as well on there. So we're going to get into the nitty-gritty details around the top pros and what they do with their training and their diet and just different subject matters that maybe aren't covered in the actual podcast. So if you want to support the show and you love what we're doing here at Longevity Muscle, subscribe to us on longevitymuscle.substack.com. That is the hosting site for the magazine. You'll have full access to all the written articles. You will have early access to knowing who comes on as a guest for the podcast. So you'll find out pretty much when I find out who we're bringing on. And that's the first place it will be revealed in the magazine. So if you're subscribed, you'll have early access to knowing who our guests are and the option to partake in a exclusive Q&A. So you'll have access to ask questions. We're doing some fun things over there. Definitely check it out. We appreciate all of you who have subscribed to the magazine. All proceeds go towards improving the podcast, elevating natural bodybuilding, so we can continue to bring on guests and keep our schedule running. Thank you so much once again. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, leave us that 5-star review. Very simple, very quick. Just hit that 5 stars. We appreciate it as always. And we'll catch you in the next one.